There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Full house this morning here in the studio. Tom Urquhart is back from his travels. Alongside him is Georgia Tolley. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
And we've also got Hannah Murphy with us as well. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So the team are here and they will fill me in with what's been going on over the last weekend or so, because I'm completely out of the loop.
As to what's been going on in the world,
just
news?
Just in general, really. Yeah, apparently there's a couple of fellas that met together in Singapore or something.
Little
like that.
Summit.
Okay.
Food was good. Prawn cocktail as a starter. Haagen-Dazs ice cream as the pudding.
Very nice indeed.
They talked about world peace. It wasn't that important.
So that's been going on over in Singapore, but what's been going on here in the UAE? One story we will attach a little later on. I know it's something that you've dealt with this morning on the Business Breakfast, is this restaurants story. Now, this is one that I didn't pick up on over in the United Kingdom over the weekend. It didn't feature on the news over there. The top line of that there, or the bottom line of that, is restaurants are going to get cheaper? Not really.
Not really, no. This is all a municipality fee that we don't even see in our bills in restaurants. It's just sort of wrapped up in the main price. So there's going to be a reduction of that municipality fee from 10% to 7%. We asked several experts on the Business Breakfast this morning whether or not that 3% would be passed on to consumers, and I'm afraid the conclusion is no, it won't.
Your thoughts on that one? That would be appreciated. As I said, we'll deal with that in more detail a little later on in proceedings. Love Island, I could talk to you about that. That seems to be all that anybody is talking about over in the United Kingdom at the moment. Forget summits of nuclear powers over in Singapore. It is Love Island that is on the lips of literally everybody. And even, you know, as I sat there on a Sunday morning with my Sunday papers and things like that, and thinking, you know, when I go for a couple of broadsheets of a Sunday morning, even the opinion pieces on that, Love Island.
So this is the TV series that basically strands about 20 mid-adults, you know, 20-somethings. Is that a mid-adult?
No, much fewer than that. It's about
14?
8 of them.
You've watched, in other words.
I've watched lots, yeah, I'm up to date.
Oh my goodness. So they strand 8 of these 20-year-olds on an island.
Terrible.
It's in Mallorca in Spain somewhere. They put them in a house, they're trapped in a house.
It's a modern-day parable.
And the idea is that they get together and there's sort of various romantic interludes that everyone gets to watch, and they get to know the characters very well. Basically, it's just real life. But they're not the most intelligent of people. The conversations don't revolve around, you know, global international affairs. They tend to all revolve around who fancies who and whether or not someone else nicked someone else's sunglasses. But more people, there was this awful stat, more people applied for it than voted in the election, or more people, there was a horrible stat.
It wasn't, I mean, it sounded horrible, and it's been trotted out a lot. It's the whole fact that 85,000 people applied to get onto Love Island, which is more than applied for both Oxford and Cambridge universities.
That was it.
But you know what? So what? Isn't that just indicative of the times as well? It's the academic elite of Oxford and Cambridge who don't really need 85,000 people applying to them in the first place. Plus, that was one of the opinion pieces I read in the paper about it. That is a flawed comparison.
It is a flawed comparison. I suppose what they're trying to say is we're all getting thicker, and we're all, you know, all of this is dumbing down television, and we shouldn't descend to these murky depths.
But we do, and we enjoy it because it twangs some sort of fundamental emotion in our bodies that, as much as you should not like it, because it is base, and it is fairly...
It's gossip. Online gossip.
It's one of the sort of gossip magazines. It's glossy TV, isn't it?
Oh, and all the girls are just so fake. You know, you don't
They don't look real. They all look less like Barbie dolls. Got big heads and really small waists.
There's no bookish ones, with
Someone
specs.
Made a really, really good point the other day. Said, there's not a single piece of body hair anywhere on that island, you know. they are all, even the fellas.
Last year, they even had a hairdresser as one of the participants. Last year I did watch it.
I'm scared how much you guys know about this. I'm really sorry to say. I am scared.
So last year I had a good excuse. I was spending a lot of time locked in a small, airless room with not much to cheer me up. And I watched a lot of Love Island that year. This year I'm out in the real world. I have no interest. No interest at all. And I don't think people should watch reality television. I think it's ghastly stuff. Yeah. There's so much of it. Like, what's this Housewives of the Real Housewives program? Everyone watches Real Housewives as well. That's just dumb and base and boring and gossip, and it's just so embarrassing.
That's why they sell. What? I've got a friend who worked on Love Island, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Worked on it, not...
Well, the one that, yeah, just the series just gone.
Okay. Worked on it, but not a contestant.
Not a contestant. Oh, right,
you wouldn't know a contestant, believe me. The contestants have got IQs of about 32. Like you wouldn't, you can barely converse with them.
Okay, so
beyond grunts.
If we're talking about sort of base sentiment and base mentalities and things like that, and the fact that, you know, the worrying demise of our whole sort of system of ethics and morals and things like that, the thing is. And we talk about the troubles that people have coming out of school, going from university, trying to find jobs, zero-hour contracts, the world over.
Don't do this.
What?
Don't do this. I know where you're going.
It is guaranteed exposure and money. And I know people put themselves out there and they have to behave appallingly in order to get more followers and more likes and things like that. But it sets them up for... maybe not life, but certainly a future in the media spotlight. Every single contestant that's done previous seasons has gone on to be something
some
of a
presenter or something.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, but just, you know, you've got a 13-year-old daughter. Do you want her to aspire to be one of those Barbie dolls? You know, effectively, you know, wearing very little on television for hours, and you know they have TV cameras in their bedrooms. They don't have them in the bathrooms, I don't think, but they have them in the bedrooms. And so they wake up and the first thing like that they see is a camera in their face. I can't think of the right word because I'm not allowed to use the word I want to. You totally give up yourself to the TV camera. Totally give it up.
I just don't see that. I mean, I think you're over-dramatising the situation because... a lot of people, not just those contestants there, but all those contestants are the sort of the picture boys, the pin-up boys and the pin-up girls of the Insta or digital era that we live in. But, you know, how many of the 85,000 that applied and the hundreds of thousands or millions that are watching do exactly the same thing? You talk about cameras in bedrooms. Well, what's the first thing that most people do in the morning? They get up and they take a picture of themselves or they post whatever they're doing. You've got a camera. You carry a camera around with you.
But it's
and you're documenting everything you do.
It's not quite the same, but I think it's different from a female to a male point of view.
Yes, it is different because men, that's such a good point, Hanan, because men don't get objectified in the way that women do.
Yeah.
And the fact is that these girls are ciphers. No one cares what they think or what they're doing, apart from, you know, how they respond to men, effectively. It is, I mean, I would ban my daughter from watching it. I hope you banned your daughter from watching it.
Not at all.
No, they're watching it together, clearly.
Don't let her watch it. She's going to get completely the wrong sense of
it's
what morals...
It's completely her choice.
No, it's a complete parody of what is normal in real life. It's completely... Yeah, it's not reality. And if she watches it, she's going to think it's real. And it's not. People don't live like that. They don't look like that. Hopefully, they're not that stupid.
But guess what? It's working, guys, because you just talked about it for the last however many minutes.
I know, but, that opens up. How strict should you be as a parent out there? Would you allow your teenage child to watch something like a Love Island or any other reality shows that are doing the rounds at the moment, for that matter? And in the advent and the age of the box setters, well, how much control do you have over your children? We were talking about tittle-tattle there. We were talking about the fact that, you know, there is this sort of culture of dumbing down. We were talking about the fact you just can't find good academic and intellectual debates on your radio station these days. So coming up after the break, we talk about how a British model said that women who take time off work for sick children are using it as an excuse to get out of doing their jobs. We'll be introducing you to the mad, bad world of Kelly Brook. Sum up Kelly Brook for me in a moment or so.
Big boobs, not much brain.
Right, we are. Okay, so that's coming up in just a few moments' time. If you'd like to have your say, text them to us now on 4001. But Kelly Brook has got, of course, consternation over in the United Kingdom about responsibilities to stay at home. Your thoughts on that one, along with reality TV and, of course, the restaurant industry here. Just a few of the topics that we're picking up here on the agenda this morning. It is a Wednesday morning. You're listening to Dubai i103.8. It's good to have your company. Let's go to the United Kingdom, a show called Loose Women, where several well-known actresses, presenters, starlets, media stars come together to discuss a number of topics. topics that are affecting they on their within their lives and on a daily basis. In one of the recent episodes, a British model, well-known British model called Kelly Brook, who divides attention. Is that fair, Georgia?
She divides opinion. Some people think she's fantastic and funny and kind of cool, and other people like me think that she's overrated, a bit overweight, and a serial engager.
So let's leave that to one side for a moment, but let us have a look at what she had to say, because she angered viewers of the popular TV show when she slammed mums who take time off work to look after their kids. This is what she said.
I do have like a pet hate, and I don't have children, so I don't always understand what it's like to have children and juggle career and kids and everything else that us as women have to do. But I do work with some women that if they can't turn... What?
They can't to your right.
Oh, God. Holy don't. But if they, if they can't do or can't make an appointment or can't do something and there's a deadline, and some people I work with, they'll always say, oh, it's because I've got to bath the baby, or I've got to feed the kids, or I've got to do the school run. And others have kids and you never even hear about the kids. They're very professional, and I love that.
Do you think it's about being organised?
I just don't think women or people should use kids as an excuse not to do their job properly. I just think it's no one's business. It's your private life. And if you can't meet the demands of your job, don't blame your kids.
Kelly Brook there speaking on British TV programme Loose Women. Those comments caused something of a kickback from a number of viewers and observers of the show. Let's get the thoughts of those in studio. Georgia, she was suggesting that some women, she wasn't saying all women, she was saying just some women, use their children as an excuse to take time off work. Fair?
It really galls me to agree with Kelly. Really calls me, because she's not my favourite person, but I think she's right. I mean, I work in a profession where if you don't turn up, the programme's not on. So it's sort of non-negotiable. If I don't turn up at work, I can't just skive. It's an absolute disaster for all my colleagues, and you know, it really messes things up for the whole of the station. There are other jobs where you have more of a sort of in-tray relationship with your work, and maybe things can be delayed for a day. But I remember when I used to work at the BBC in London, there were three women on the programme and that I worked on. And this is three out of a team of six producing the programme. And one of those women, nearly every single week, at the last minute, would ring in and tell us that her child was ill and therefore wouldn't turn up. And it's almost impossible to find a replacement at that short notice to make the programme. So we just had to make the programme with fewer people. So everyone else had to work harder. And it was all right at the beginning. Like, I thought, oh yeah, children get ill. And this was before I was a mother myself. But she just did it so many times that it just became clear that she was using it as an excuse to skive. And she was flagging it up, oh no, my child's ill, or it's sickly, child, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it was just nonsense. She was skiving and all of the rest of us were having to take the flak for it. So upsettingly, I think Kelly's got a point. I think it happens. I think people skive.
So that's one side of the argument. The other, Hanan, is us looking at whether there should be a shared responsibility. A lot of sort of fingers being pointed that if a child is off work, the onus seems to fall more on the mother than the father to be at home to care for ailing child. Fair?
Yeah, I, from my experience, I don't have kids, but from my experience with my friends, it seems like there will be a lot of people that the mum does sort of end up taking that responsibility. But then I do know a couple of people that the dad's got a slightly more flexible working life, so he's able to do it. So, you know, they sort of try and work it between them.
Mums and dads, should they share the responsibility? Your thoughts, please. And get some thoughts from listeners that want to get involved in the conversation. Let's hear from Michael, who joins us live on Line 7. Morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well indeed. Thanks so much indeed for reaching out and joining the conversation this morning. Kelly Brook obviously has caused something of a stir with her comments over there. Those comments have then been picked up on and they've run with as well. How have you read them as a male observer, as a father looking at some of the comments being made? Do men get a fair run of it in the conversation, do you think?
To be honest, I'm not sure they do. I think Kelly, unfortunately, does have a point. Excuse me. But that point needs to be put into context as well. You know, the onus, where possible, perhaps should be shared between both parents. But there are occasions when that's not possible. You know, parents may have separated, etc., and a child or children may be with one and not the other. And the onus is going to fall upon, you know, the carer at that time. I think as well, you know, it also depends on the nature of any particular job as well. Is there the flexibility to take time off, you know, in cases of an emergency, for example? If it's not an emergency, should that parent be properly organized so that routine challenges can be overcome and the necessary care provided? You know, so there's many different dynamics to this, Tom, and I think it's not particularly fair to say one parent should, one parent shouldn't. I have been an employer as well where, you know, people in my team have had to take time off for emergencies. I have to be flexible with that. You know, I have a child. She has been sick. I have had to race home and attend, you know. It's very, very different, and the circumstances are very different on each occasion as well, and I think that has to be taken into consideration.
As your time as an employer, and again, I'm not sure if you've got the figures in front of you, but from your sort of gut feeling and from your memories of time as an employer, was it more likely that a mum would rush home for a ailing child than a dad, or again, was it a sort of split, and were both of these sort of findings relative?
My own experience, yes, it was the mother who would be, you know, the one rushing off if needed. I have to be honest and say, you know, I wasn't fully aware of all the family circumstances for everybody in my team. You know, I don't know how many were, you know, in sort of engaged marriages or separated or otherwise. You know, it wasn't part of the dynamics.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because as part of this conversation, it just seems to me that fathers seem to be getting a bit of stick. You know, it seems that there is this idea that fathers turn a blind eye, if you like, knowing that mothers, their wives, their partners are out there to pick up the pieces. Is that fair, do you think, in this conversation?
I personally find that a little galling. I think that's very, very sexist. And I'll throw an example here, if I may. It's just a personal experience. One of my brothers is a stay-at-home dad. Yeah. You know, his wife is the main breadwinner, and they agreed many years ago. It just made more sense for them and the circumstances they're in, where he would stay at home and do the usual running around, etc. So if there is an emergency, he's the one that responds. And I'm sure there's plenty of fathers out there who do exactly the same. I think there's rare occasions on both sides of the fence, mothers and fathers, who perhaps don't do enough, but I think that's the minority. I think we also have to accept current culture, current business is perhaps a little male-dominated. You know, the men have perhaps more senior jobs, they earn more money. It's a little harder for them to suddenly say, sorry, I've got to run, you know. But again, isn't that the partnership with a husband and wife? You know, that's the sort of pre-agreement. I'll do this, you do that, and we'll compromise in the middle on other bits and pieces. So I do find it a bit, you know, challenging to have people point that finger and say, you should do more. Well, hold on a minute, we do what we can.
It's interesting you mentioned there about those mitigating factors as well, because I suppose one of the elements that we haven't really addressed as yet is, if we're taking this as a story out of the United Kingdom, it's affecting families there. I suppose one of the big differences here, that if you've got certainly two parents working, mothers and fathers, or not necessarily both working, invariably there is help at home as well, with maids and mannies and sticking around to help out within the household environment. Does that therefore alleviate some of the pressure to rush home if a child is ill?
Oh, certainly. You know, we're very fortunate in this part of the world where we do have that additional support, you know, maids, nannies, etc. You know, people in the UK aren't generally afforded that luxury, Europe, etc. So to some degree, yes, that some of the minor cuts and scrapes and bits and pieces can be taken care of without too much drama. You know, but emergencies are just that. They're emergencies. Mm. You know, a child falls over, breaks an arm, has to be rushed to hospital. A parent is going to want to be there. You know, whether it's the mother, whether it's the father, whether it's both. You know, who are we to judge in that respect?
Good point.
You know, but the whole pointing finger thing, you know, fathers should do more, I'd argue. Perhaps mothers could do more under certain circumstances. I just, you know, we talk about equality these days. Yeah. Let's keep that in mind as well.
Kelly Brook has caused something of a stir over in the United Kingdom. Bigora. A number of people, a number of listeners, a number of viewers have hit out at her narrow-mindedness and says she will never have kids because of her track record, but also the comments and opinions that she's willing to air. Many have branded her as single-minded and narrow-minded. The former Apprentice star, Louisa Zisman, who is a mother of three daughters, lashed out at the model, who's 38 years old, after she claimed it's unprofessional for mums to talk about children in the workplace. Louisa told a number of media sources there that Kelly, and that's Brooke, will never understand motherhood until she has children of her own, adding that her views on working mums are narrow-minded and ill-informed. Are women without children allowed to comment on motherhood in the workplace?
Yes, because you're a real human being with a rounded life. It's got to come up, right? Otherwise, you're a bit odd. If you found out that somebody had children and they hadn't mentioned them at all for a year, would you not think that was a bit strange? And Anne, have you got a secret child that we don't know about?
I think that would be a little bit odd if you never, ever mentioned your child. Okay, fine. You don't need to go into all the details, talk about them all the time, but it would be a bit weird. Tom is looking at me weirdly.
Tom,
I haven't got a secret child.
Tom doesn't talk about anything about his personal life ever, unless pushed. In fact, he cut me off earlier when I said, hang on a second. He asked me and Hanan what he thought about whether or not who should be taking children to the doctor. Tom, who should be taking children to the doctor? Who does it in your family?
I go with the mantra of Michael, you know, whoever is available, whoever has time on their hands, whoever's not doing the school pickup at the time, whoever's closest, then share that responsibility. Invariably, it is my wife.
Naturally, because you have busy things to do.
Not just that, you know, she's just equally as equally busy as myself on a day-to-day basis. But
it's not broadcast critical. That's our expression, by the way, that people say broadcast critical here. If you have to get something like on air quickly,
I'm choosing my words carefully here because, I suppose. She's
more accessible?
Friendly.
Certainly more accessible because closer to home.
Nicer?
All of the above,
nicer,
yes.
Nicer lady, definitely.
Definitely.
Tolerant.
More likely to take one of the children to the doctors than me.
Because they like her more?
I'm more of a wait and see.
Oh, you devil!
Bit of water.
You'll be all right, love.
Yeah, bit of salt, bit of sugar.
No blood, no plasma.
Okay, let's have a male...
Let's readdress this in 2 weeks' time.
Is it falling off? No? Well, then why do we need a doctor?
Let us find out more. Let's go to the lines now. Let's talk to a friend of the show who joins us live on line two. The Managing Director of Mums at Work, Louise Cream, joins us live on the line. Morning, Lou.
Good morning, everyone.
Nice to have you on with us this morning.
Hi,
and we've got lots and lots of text messages on this one. Differing opinions as well. Who does bear that responsibility, in your opinion, with regards to a sick child?
I'm with you, Tom. It's a shared responsibility. Parents. It's not parent. In our household, quite often actually it's my husband, because his work's very flexible as well. But it's who's there at the time, who's got less work on, who's... You know, it really is just dependent on how busy we are.
This sentiment as well, the sort of emanating from this particular story, being a backlash on social media amongst others as well, that that working mums use their children as an excuse. Now, you've done so much for working mums, through Mums at Work as well. Is that a fair accusation to level, and not all mums, but some mums?
I don't think so. I actually think, and you know, you can broad brush whatever, but I actually think working mums work harder because of these perceptions, you know, so because people think that they're running off to a sick child or whatever, so you actually overcompensate in what you do. And if you do go home to a sick child, well, that's life, and the majority of people will pick up their workload when they can, you know, at home. But it's a ridiculous statement. I've never come across it myself.
Do you know, Louise, and I hate to do this because I like to be sort of trying to be part of the sisterhood and everything, but I really have experienced women doing this, and I've seen women unashamedly take days off because and use their children as an excuse, and I find that obviously that's disastrous from a professional point of view, but they can get away with it. So I know we'd like to talk in ideals in some ways, but I have seen it happening, and I wonder whether there's a way in which women should, which can confront each other on this, whether they can, you can take a woman to one side and say, hang on, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're always going to get people that use excuses to take time off work, whether it's their kids, whether they pretend that the house is flooded or whatever it is, you know, so why are we singling out women that do it with children? It's not the right thing to do, and they should be ashamed of themselves, really. And, you know, if I notice someone doing it, I think you're right, you'd single them out and sort of have a word with them, because it's putting a bad rep for those that don't do it, which is the majority.
It's so interesting to hear you say that. I mean, so as far as the Mums at Work organisation, and how do you structure that? So you encourage women who can work from home?
My team, if someone needs to, you know, go to a sick child or they have something that needs being done with our family, yeah, they'll work from home, or they'll make up the hours another time. Where we work with businesses, all businesses work differently, of course, you know, but we're here to educate businesses that just because they're mothers, it doesn't mean to say that they can't perform the job just as well as anybody else, basically, if not better. Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't broad brush it. I think you're right. Some people will use any excuse in the book to take time off work, but it's not just mothers that do it.
Which is interesting as well. And I wonder whether, and this is me sort of stirring the pot just a little bit here, Lou, but with regards to... I'm just wondering whether, if you are making... Look, if you've got to be somewhere for an appointment or something like that, and you're trying to pull the wool over the eyes of an employer, and you're looking to convince them empathetically somehow, I wonder whether a parent, be it a father or a mother, if they use a child as an excuse, they think they're more likely to be able to give them a bit of grace to take some time off.
Yeah, I mean, possibly, you know, like you said, it's the empathetic route, so it might wash better. But, you know, I've heard all the excuses in the books in my career of people taking time off, whether it's they're going to job interviews or they just want a day off. So I don't think, you know, it's just mothers that do it, or fathers indeed. But yeah, I guess you can pull the heartstrings a little bit if you talk about the kids.
Final one, another element of this is R. Kelly getting a little bit of stick about commenting on motherhood and issues of motherhood, not being a mother herself. Again, is that fair or not?
Well, I didn't understand motherhood completely until I became a mother. You know, obviously I've been around my nephews and nieces, etc., and kids throughout my life, but I don't really think, and I'm with Louisa from The Apprentice on this, I don't think you really understand the ins and outs of parenting and motherhood until you become a mother.
Really appreciate your thoughts this morning, Louise. Thanks so much indeed to you and all the Mums at Work team. Have yourself a great summer if I don't speak to you before then.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Bye.
Cheers. Louise Green there joining us live on the line. She's the Managing Director of Mums at Work here in the region. Lots of comments coming through. George Tolley trying to keep on top of those.
I am indeed. There's a comment come through now saying, overweight, are you kidding me? What has that to do with her opinion? I think maybe that's fair enough. I was talking about Kelly Brook there. Maybe it doesn't make a difference. She just annoys me.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'm sure she's not alone. Do you annoy her?
Yes, actually. Okay. I think I do, yes.
Thanks very much indeed to who else do we have on this one?
Sorry, let me go to the right page.
No worries. We'll get to some of those comments in just a few moments' time, but we have got people calling in as well. It's interesting to get the opinions of not just our female listeners, but also our male listeners out there at the moment. It's been interesting that so many have got in touch with us with regards to today's talker. Kelly Brook has upset fans over in the UK while she has no children of her own. She said she observed this behaviour among her close work friends. Fans suggested she had no idea of the demands of being a working parent. A report in the the UK last year said that 2 in 5 young parents who ask for flexible work arrangements are being penalised with fewer hours, worse shifts and even losing their job. In 2015, a survey of 1,000 UK parents revealed that 3 million working days are lost caring for 6 children each year. 67% of parents had taken a day off in the last 12 months and almost two-thirds struggled to make last-minute childcare arrangements. Let's go to the lines. Line 3, let's say good morning to Vince joining us live on the line. Morning, Vince.
Good morning.
Thanks very much indeed for your thoughts on this one this morning. Is it a shared responsibility?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really thoroughly enjoy you guys every morning. I listen to you as I am jetting about the city, and I think you guys are awesome.
Thanks, man.
And yes, I'd love to share my opinion on this topic. Now, this lady, this supermodel of some sort, is saying that it's a cop out for women to want to take time off and take care of their children. I completely disagree with this.
Mm.
I'm in my 40s, and I was raised very lovingly by my mother, and those were the most valuable and most tender times of my life, where I had incredible care, love, and attention, especially when I was ill. The family unit today is very different from the past.
Yeah.
Of course, it's financially motivated. If you're not fortunate enough to have the finances, yes, mom and dad both have to work. But if you are in that position, then you should consider yourself blessed, and you should allow your wife, your woman, to do her God-given sacred right and raise the children. And the man should be a man and go out and provide. And this is what I believe has been perverted by society, by media, and by people who want to cleverly market and take up the valuable space of your mind. So I couldn't disagree more.
It's interesting.
Comment.
You think that's it's an opportunity. You think? I mean, obviously, as you said, the very dynamics of family are changing at the moment as more and more people become money driven, as you said there. But do you not think that a number of families are forced into this scenario, or are you completely accepting of that? It's just, if you had the opportunity, that mum should stay at home, dad should go out and work.
Absolutely. For the first 7 years of this blessed child's life.
To help,
and this is what,
bringing up the
this
child,
is what,
okay.
Absolutely. And I mean, I come from a psychology background, and this is what helps shape the mind of the child with good habits in order to go out into society and learn and fight the battles and become successful in life on all the different aspects that they need to be successful. And unfortunately, a lot of parents nowadays either are not in the position to be able to spend this incredibly valuable time with their kids.
Vince, I'm gonna have to cut in, okay?
I don't have to work.
My husband could provide for us. I don't have to work. I would go mental. I would go actually mental in the non-psychological exact sense. I would go mental if you made me stay at home with my children. Never mind the fact that they need to be educated and go to nursery. So I actually wouldn't be staying at home with my children. I would be staying at home in the house. Maybe I'd have time, therefore, to prepare an amazing evening meal for my husband. But I'm afraid I don't think he deserves that any more than I do. So this is an absolute nonsense. And it feels like I've stepped back into, like, the 18th century. This is bizarre.
Well, maybe you're missing. I'm coming across the wrong way. Absolutely, I don't believe that, you know, women should have to spend their whole time in the family. But women are by nature caregivers.
No,
they nurture.
No.
They nurture.
Men and women are caregivers. There is nothing.
Sure.
And if you're going to go back to caveman days and say, oh, in the old days it used to be women that were the caregivers, that's because then there was an obligation on women to be the caregivers. Now there is no obligation on any gender to be this caregiver. Men are just as good as women. There's nothing different about men and women apart from breasts. And ultimately, past the breastfeeding stage, there is nothing to prevent men being just as gentle and just as kind and just as cuddly.
Of course, men can do all of that. But by nature, men are limited in the way that they can give that care and attention to their children. It's not about, you know, guys ignoring their kids or not being sensitive to their kids. But the way I interact with my daughter is very different from the way my wife interacts with my daughter. So, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that this is strictly the responsibility of the wife or the woman. a healthy child must be raised with the father figure and the mother figure. The mother is a very particular figure, cannot be man, and man cannot be woman. That's what I'm saying. There must be that balance. Each person has a role and has a responsibility, and each person has to fulfill it to the best of their ability. And they have to work in unison. That's what I meant. Not going back to the caveman age, as you put it.
No, the point well made there, Vince. Thanks very much indeed. Thanks for coming on and airing your opinions, because after all, this show is all about opinions, and really appreciate you coming on and sharing yours with us this morning.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.